I'm very soft-spoken. I'm always happy. I'm laughing. I'm always building people up. But if somebody messes with my little tribe, like, man, I got a very violent history.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause it's like...
Man, I freaking love it. It's like, because you got to have half your audience has to love you and the other half has to hate you, period. Yeah. And even the haters love us because they're watching too. They're silently cheering you on. Like, I can't wait for that motherfucker.
We know today that the haters are watching us. Don't we know?
Yeah.
I mean, people sent...
just got hit with a brand new lawsuit today.
Yeah, exactly. And they sent screenshots of my social media, you know, like...
Oh, that was surprising. Yeah. Right? I didn't know what to say to you. I was like, was that from today?
What's funny is that... Had he presented that to me, I would have said, you flatter yourself. You assume that's about you, good sir.
I can't believe he thought that was about you.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, it's funny because, you know, that certain person mentioned something that it rang true with me that perhaps old Rooster's not seeing it from his side, you know, and so we got into it. But the fact is that I do see it from that side. That's why I attempted to go to the negotiating table very quickly, you know, and was actually shot down by said person who then, you know, tried to make it look like I was the non-negotiator when in fact I was. But anyway, it's one of those things. You know, it's part of the business. There's going to be misalignment there, and there certainly was misalignment with that deal, but I don't think it is I or their intent to kill a deal over that, right? I think feelings may have gotten hurt, and but anybody that knows me knows that, you know, the fact is that a lot of people look at me, Alan Rooster, whoever you want to call me, different people call me, I'm very misunderstood. People think I'm this ego-driven like guy because I present myself as Rooster Vance on social media, but the fact is that that's a persona, and that, yeah, I protect my flock, and but I'm not an aggressor in any way or a bully or any way. I'm simply a beast for my family and my friends. You know what I'm saying? And so
that's what I was gonna say. I think you're more like myself, right? Laughing, I'm always building people up. But if somebody messes with my little tribe, like, man, I got a very violent history.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, man,
sometimes,
you know,
sometimes some demons wake up.
The fact is that, you know, when I changed my life and my mindset into that, you know, the abundance thing, and I lost the weight and got really, you know, turned my life around. It was at that point that I realized that the only thing that I truly valued was my relationships with certain people, right? Mm-hmm. Bro, you can take the money doesn't mean shit for me. In fact, so much so that I had the harsh realization, I made money in my life and had the harsh realization when I had it that it didn't fix anything inside of me, right? And so once I had that realization and then changed the other things, the real things inside of me that gave me the, you know, got me in the mindset that I am now, is that's the power. And so the ultimate power is that I realize that I have things that people can't take away from me. Other than that, I have nothing to lose, right? My children and my family and my friends and then what's in here is the only thing that I really value, you know? I can sleep in a field next to a campfire and be fine. I don't need a roof over my head. So with that, going in, you know, I've butted heads with some folks and they just, I think that they misunderstand me. I'm a very simple guy, but we had a lot to win. A lot of people had a lot to win from that deal. So I hope we could renegotiate it, and I'm going to leave that in your hands. I know that you're going to do a good job if you can, but onward. And anyway, he doesn't want me to talk about sour deals. He doesn't realize how much a part of the business they actually are.
I don't even think it's a sour deal, man. It's the nature of the business. And something that I wanted to bring up is that the larger deals that you start to do, the snakes really come out, mm-hmm. right? When you're doing a wholesale deal and it's me and you, mm-hmm. we're going to make 10 grand each or 20 grand each. It's easy to stomach. Everybody's happy.
Right.
We don't even need a contract. Just shoot you over the cash.
Yeah.
But when it's somebody else that you don't know and it's a multi-million dollar ranch and you're standing to make 400 grand or 800 grand and somebody sees that on paper, man, the tempers flare up. People get very mm-hmm. offended. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's something to shy away from. I think it's something that you'd want to talk about because mm-hmm. I think people need to be cautious. If you do go out, you negotiate yourself a multi-million dollar ranch and you're like, hey, me and my buddies made it and you right. don't have a veteran on your side. I mean, I'm telling you right now, the wolves are going to come to get you. You know,
it took all of our expertise to to reel that back into a place to where it didn't, you know, cause damage to somebody's side. And I certainly, you know, the student, I had a student that contracted that deal, and, you know, he told me himself, he's like, you know, what, I don't know what I had no idea what I'm doing, but I feel like I probably learned more than any other of your students the last few months. I said, sir, you learned probably 10 times more than any of my students learned all year going through that deal. And I said, I know you thought you were going to make a lot more money on it, but in a couple of years from now, hindsight 2020, you're going to realize how much you actually did make from that deal, because you just fought the hardest deal there was to fight. That kid negotiated the contract. I coached him through it. You know, we had that contract months before with another student. It fell out. We came back months later, got it for a couple hundred cheaper. Coach went, fought for this thing, and then to end up where it's at, I'm just like, holy shit, you know. It's one of those deals. It's a great piece of land. It's a great piece of land.
Fantastic piece of land. Man, maybe 20 to 30 cents on the dollar.
We're bringing so much value to the table for both sides on that deal, and that's why it really upset me. Yeah. Because, you know, we had a buyer that was getting a price that he loved. He already loved it. He signed a $1 million contract on it, right? But then to see that we were making, 20, 30% of that, then, you know, people's blood boils. But what he jumped to conclusions and made assumptions about us, and so made a move that really, to me, wasn't very ethical. But when you think about it from his shoes, you know, the wholesalers in general can have a bad reputation. So he certainly could have thought he was just up against some kind of unscrupulous wholesaler. When in doubt, we are a team who works in full disclosure. We actually have an intermediary signed with the listing agent.
On the listing agent side.
Exactly.
On our team.
What we're doing here, right? So we did this in full disclosure. They know, the seller knows we're making money. We brought it to market for them. We marketed the shit out of it, didn't we? Between you
and I.
Lots
of firepower on the marketing
side. Every
investor
in Texas saw that deal. And it fell through the cracks for some reason.
Not yet.
Not yet. Here's why. Because we had some, first off, we keep the best deals and close on them for ourselves. We raise the money, and our investors make the most money.
243 acres right now.
Exactly. So the investors make the most amount of money from the deals we close on. But when we're able to wholesale these other deals that we're not going to cherry pick, it's opportunity for somebody. And I can tell you right now that each time we've had a problem with this deal, I've stopped and been like, I'm just going to go raise the 800K. Okay. And then the next week's like, no, we got to buy it. I say, okay, I'll forget about it again. But every time we hit a stop with that deal, it's like, I know that we could just go raise the damn money. We're busy with other deals. We can allot it to other deals, so we don't necessarily need to, right?
I take it for granted that, I mean, we had so many buyers lined up. I'm just going to fly off the shelf. No need to take it down. Just wholesale it.
Yeah, wholesale it and take the chunk and put that down on another deal and roll it. But it's another one of those things. But anyway, so, you know, we won't miss the opportunity to try to reel that buyer back in, a form of strong bond with him, as somebody that we can collaborate rather than compete with, because ultimately losing money on, I preach this to my students, so I can't, you know, I can't be a hypocrite about it. It's not about one deal, right? And so
that's why I think these guys are missing the mark, because they're big buyers, but we don't know them, right? I'm just telling you what they told us, and it sounds believable. They represent a big buyer that buys big ranches all over Texas. And so in my mind, even though it got a little heated, right now we're doing the good cop, bad cop thing. You know, Rooster kind of raised his voice a little bit. He was very stern with them. And so now I'm coming in the back door like, look, guys, you guys sound amazing, somebody that we want to work with. We're in the same business. And this is what I try to tell everybody, too, is like, if we're working the same thing, you're working ranches, we're working ranches, and we're not working together, you're competing against yourself. Mm-hmm. You guys send out a $1 million offer, we offer 1-1. You offer 1-2, we offer 1-3.
Exactly.
When we could have both teamed up on the deal at $1 million, and then all that upside is ours instead of the seller's.
Right, exactly. And so you ruin your own market. As my grandfather would say, you shit where you lay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we don't shit where we lay. We all lay in the same place, right? We all live, it's Texas. It's a small country, Texas. You know what I'm saying? But it's our country. Come on.
Yeah, man. And I think that's kind of like everything that we represent. And
okay,
like,
now I got to Got a little.
Is that electric?
I was just having some back pain, so I wanted to kick it back. Now, actually, I thought you might want to, you know, I've been having some rough days, so I was going to lean back on the couch and see if, you know, we'll talk about our feelings. No, this thing just popped up. I don't know.
It was pretty good. should I just push it back in?
No.
It's a button there.
Yeah.
Oh, this thing is sweet, dude.
Oh, it's like electric?
Or no? It is. Oh, there we go. 7 G's with this thing?
Yeah, so
we can crumble that out.
No,
man, I really think like our whole business model, that's why when I first met you, I was like, this guy totally gets it. Mm-hmm. We're in the same business, we're after the same exact properties. You know, there's only so many buyers, right? So when you have mm-hmm. a buyer's pool, people trying to buy multi-million dollar ranches, there's not that many buyers out there.
No.
So if we're chasing after the same properties,
it's a small community. I mean, we're kind of a sub-community because it's not just the land game. Like, there's a retail sector, right? And we're not even about that, right? But within the wholesale sector of the land game, we have a strong hold on that. And so that's a much smaller community. A lot of people don't understand the power that we have and the deals that we get. As a matter of fact, I see ranches that sell. We'll negotiate a retail ranch, for instance. Something that's listed with an agent. It'll be listed at $2 million, for example. And we'll have bailed out of the negotiation at 1.3 because we needed it at 1.1. And your average land broker will, in this market, will take their or a realtor, will be buyer repping somebody for a $2 million ranch. And they'll take them through there and they'll offer them 1.8. You know what I'm saying? And so... they don't realize. And so that's one of the things that we're doing to start to educate more of our realtors that come in our, is that you can negotiate really hard on land. You know, we go in low just because it's not the roof over these people's heads. Mm-hmm. So you don't hurt as many feet. Now, we don't just go in and crush them with a blatant, you know,
lowball for nothing offer. Yeah, it's something fair market price that
we use a psychological way that we teach in our classes to kind of feel somebody out, right? To get the information out of them, but to let the people know what kind of a buyer we are. And if you let them know what kind of a buyer you are, typically they'll ask you for the offer that they want. And that's a good place to start in a negotiation. But either way, you know, what you've been able to do and what I've been able to do, putting our communities together, go out and take on the land game with the same kind of a mindset as these guys have in the house wholesaling and commercial wholesaling space, and to scale it and to go at it with that type of, action is kind of what we're about. And in doing that, you can't help but just to grow into closing on big land deals, right? Because it's not something that is foreign to us, right? We've grown up around land. A lot of my friends are starting to invest in deals now because they understand, right? They're like, these guys are making money in land. Hey, Rooster, what are you doing with land? I say, well, we get it at $10,000 an acre, and we divide it up, and we sell it at $30,000 an acre.
Not a bad business model.
And I said, yeah, exactly. So they say, well, that sounds simple. I said, well, my dumb ass can do it. You couldn't have thought it was that complicated, right? And they're like, well, no, it's not that. What is complicated is sourcing your deals, getting them funded, keeping them organized, right? And so those are it's like the pitfalls of any business as an entrepreneur. You're going to open up, there's these walls that you got to get through. You built a wall climbing machine, HiveMind CRM, right? And then I kind of did the same type of a thing. So we just knocked down all the walls, right? And we just systemize what we do and we go after it. So now we've done that so well, I know that you're just constantly raising money for your deals. And I know a lot of your investors that who have come back into my deals. And
I've never met the guy in person. I flew all the way to San Diego like on a whim. It was like Thursday night or something. I had a dream like to go see this guy like immediately. And I text him the next morning when I woke up and I said, hey, are you available Sunday? He's like, yeah. Bought a plane ticket that day. Flew into San Diego Saturday. Went to the guy's house. And I'm like, I need to borrow $10 million to start this fund. Yeah. And he's like, I'm game.
Come on. That's called taking massive action, right? You can't sit on that. And that's the thing is like when you have that momentum, you can't sit on that. You got to go because when you have that feeling, you have that energy, you have that positivity, people are going to read off that. They want to be a part of that. Now, when you fail in that state is when you're not an expert in what you do, but you're an expert in what you do, and you knew, and you had the confidence in yourself, so you went out there and did that. And I love that, because that's how I am too. When I'm ready to do something and I'm sure, then I go after it. And I think that a lot of people come into both of our mentorship programs, and that we teach them, we can teach them you know, the land stuff within a few days, and then it's more about mindset, right? Like a lot of mentorships, it's a lot of mindset.
With a strong head on his shoulders over a seasoned person any day. You have a 17-year agent struggling, and a brand new kid who's just making amazing offers and getting deals. I have a 21-year-old kid right now who's negotiating a $3 million wrench.
I love that kid. I love him. He's, you know, he is a underdog story, right? What did that kid have that others don't? He didn't have a veil of negativity, right? Yeah, he's single. He doesn't have any kids, so he's doing it right, right? But he didn't have the chance to go to college. He couldn't afford that. He actually, I think, maybe been to jail once or twice in his life. It comes from a
comes from the street for sure.
But he's got a great heart, and he's a good kid, and he's
good
got
on
a,
his kid. He's got a great. He really wants it,
right? And so you put a kid like that to work, and you change his life from somebody that, you know, may have never been able to excel past mediocrity because of his environment and upbringing, and you give a $2 million land deal. I said, you're going to be fine. You know, no, but I love the story, and we keep hearing stories like that. I've never heard of a 21-year-old kid doing negotiating, and it's not just a wholesale deal. That's a deal y'all are going to close on.
Creative finance. I mean, the whole nine, man. He got long-term debt on it. I mean, I'm going to need 260 on it. I'm like,
no, sell when you mail and marketing and pushing that forward and looking
that's
for some.
The game.
And
that's
he's
the game.
And he's shout out to Freddie. He's crushing that Somerset area out there, which is a great area for the owner finance exits like you love to do.
In demand. We listed an 11-acre tract for $199 and it sold in a day.
Come on. I mean, that's, you know why though? Here's the deal: is you're bringing value there. Look on the MLS; the same tracks, probably 235. No owner financing offer.
They said we looked everywhere. Like, so as soon as that deal popped up, they jumped on it the next day. There was something wrong with the survey. They said, we don't care; just call us when it's ready to close.
Yeah. So that's the thing with land: is that you just get people look at it, they attach themselves, their dream to it, and there's never a perfect piece of property. So when people are shopping for a property, they always have, you know, a wish list, but they're always kind of willing to give and take, it seems like. So if a piece of land has a good value, it's in a generally good location, we can move it pretty quick, you know. And I love what y'all have done with dispositions. You know, the fact that we've been able to do more deals, I've been able to do more deals and plan to do more deals with y'all and the Hive Mind crew, is because y'all are so efficient at dispositions. You have a big dispositions team, don't y'all?
Yeah, man, and lots of good people. So these people, they're not by the hour. They're not, you know, promised anything. We mm-hmm. just say, hey, look, if you want to take a look at what we're doing, you're welcome to come in. Mm-hmm. And they're there. I mean, they're voluntary. They're learning. They have access to all of our resources. Mm-hmm. But something that I really love about the community is that everybody's helping everybody. And as cheesy as that sounds, like, well, I'll drop a new person in the group, and I'm like, hey, guys, introduce, you know, whoever. They came on board. They want to help us now. And everybody's like, call me if you need anything. I'll help you get set up immediately.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The whole entire group, man, just literally. So I'm like, it's just the synergy in there is so powerful. It's just huge. Points at what we're building on both sides, where people really do care about each other. We have the same vision. We're all in very much in alignment. Yeah. And it's very clear, man. And so the success that the team is having, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, well, of course, you know, because everybody's in it to win.
It just works. I mean, we're doing the same. You know, we're doing a similar thing, but we also have specialize in our different things. So we're able to allow each other, to concentrate on our strengths, which is cool. Though I've got, you know, and I'm learning a lot from you, and you're probably getting a lot of bad habits rubbed off on you from me. I don't know.
Come on, man.
but anyway, so it's been good, bro. But you know, 2024, come on. I know we have got so many deals in the pipeline. We're wholesaling a couple, right? But we've both got you've got several hundred acres. Y'all are working on a deal right now. Is another creative one out there in Poteet?
Creative, 0% interest. I mean, the whole nine, man.
And home, and y'all had a joint venture, or you had, was it Mr. Berkowetto, that Daniel, that worked with y'all on that deal?
A new guy, a brand new person that just found out about Hivemind probably 90 days ago or something, or 60 days ago, is the one that found the deal.
I met him at your event, and now he's consulting for me on a business level. He's a great guy.
Really good guy. He'll make over six figures on the, on his very first deal. You know.
So come on. That's a beautiful deal.
Never even been
in
the land game before.
I'm so happy for him and y'all to have met. I met him at y'all's event, you know. And he asked me some stuff about land. I said, yeah, this. And he, and then I said, man, I could use some advice. And he said, why don't I just put you on my weekly call schedule and put you on board and let me help you. And I said, brother, I'd appreciate that very much. So, you know, with me is I'm a visionary and I'm an action taker. I move so fast that it's hard to stay organized. And so for me to slow down and get really organized, it's kind of cripples me. It puts the shackles on me, right? So I need these team members in place for me to be efficient and to not be wasting my time or spinning my wheels. And Daniel has helped me do that. So it's just another example of somebody coming into the community, bringing their value and receiving value, and it rippling down through all of our families, literally, and all of our businesses. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And so ever since I really moved completely into the land space, it's been like my I had a, you know, a new family started to build, right? You know, and so I feel very grateful and blessed for that, guys. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody in a few days at the 5-acre giveaway we're doing.
Hey, shout out to Jesse for hosting that too, man.
Jesse, thank you, come on.
Yeah, he's been a real powerful, cool connection. As soon as he came on board, he started offering, "Hey, I can help. I got a studio,
bro.
I got a bunch of, you know, hey, we can do the giveaway at the house." And so all the contributions from you, man, has been amazing, dude. Thank you.
Jesse's a good man.
Yeah, just another person that just like he didn't have to go to orientation.
Exactly.
He didn't have to read the instruction manual. He just saw the vision and said, "Let's do this."
He came in and. Whereas a lot, you know, there's a lot of guys that have paid $50,000 to come into our upper level community, but Jesse came in as a friend and provided value. He's a realtor.
Value first up front.
Yeah, and just gave, and so and plus he's just our kind of dude, and it works well for as a meeting spot for you and I, because he kind of lives about halfway in between us.
Yeah, this is perfect. Great location. Yeah. Like, I just came from the title company in Seguin, and like 40-minute drive. I'm like, dude, I'll be there in 30 minutes.
People have no idea how much we drive. Like, even Jesse was looking at my miles in my truck. He's like, 180,000 the other day. I was like, he's like, how old's this truck? It's like, it's a few years old. You know, I mean, I put a couple miles on it, you know, but yeah, like, so.
That's the reason I run a diesel, man. If you're going to be in the ranch game, you know, you can do it virtual. Mm-hmm. I know some guys talk about virtual and they love it to death, but I'm a boots on the ground guy, man. Yeah, I'm jumping barbed wire fences. I'm avoiding snakes.
That's why I'm in the land. I came from the land space from that more, you know what I'm saying? Not from an office. Like, because when I did houses, I was the same thing. I was remodeling them, right? And so when I was flipping houses, I built a remodeling company after that.
That's
why
I stopped flipping houses, because I do have a remodeling background. Right. I would always get myself involved.
You're like, I got him.
Oh, title guy didn't show up. I'll throw this wall up today.
Exactly. It's like just when they get me back. Oh, just when I get out, they suck me back in.
That's exactly what it was, dude. So I cannot be around a remodel. I have a lot of my friends, they're house flippers around San Antonio and in Texas, and they make their videos and their content. Like, I'm flipping this house and my stomach turns. I'm like, oh
these are people that are able to deal with stress better than you or I, maybe.
Well, after
or 20
years of
know.
Doing that, it's not fun anymore.
It's not.
I don't want to shoot a video about remodeling a house.
Well, everybody gets that house flipping bug, but after you flip about a half a house, I think the bug goes away for most people.
Dude, just walking into Home Depot and Lowe's right now makes me nauseous, dude.
Me too, bro. I used to go to Home Depot and Lowe's, you know, 3-4 times a day.
Yeah. Maybe more.
Maybe more. 7 or 8, I think, was my record one time. It was a second or third flip of mine. But my first flip, you know, I slept in on an air mattress. You know, it was after my divorce. It was an hour from my house, and I had my girls when they were staying with me. I had my mom at the house, so I was staying half the time up at those flip houses and flipping them and doing all the work that I could. But no more of that. I learned a lot from, I know you learned a lot, right? We wouldn't change anything, but there's no reason to scale that type of a business when you could scale a real estate business it's just, there's no comparison, and it takes the same kind of mind to understand it.
It's the exact same strategy, man. So I was thinking about it. Let's say you buy a house and you flip it and you make it look amazing and you make 50 grand or 100 grand, whatever the magic number is, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, whatever it takes you. So we're breaking up that 200 acre ranch down there in Somerset right now. Every single tract, like the profit from every single tract sold is like 80 to 100 grand.
Yeah.
You sell 18 of those.
Right.
That's a pretty good run. And we've already sold maybe 6 or 7 tracks in like less than 30 days.
And you set that up with creative financing. That's a $2 million deal that you're doing with a $500,000 in cash.
Zero interest, zero out of pocket for me. Yeah. Right. Cause right. You do the same thing Pace does. You get private money in there. And so you're zero out of pocket. Right.
Raise 0% the money,
interest.
Share the profits. But you got yourself a deal that's going to make a couple $1 million. So bringing in an investor for 500 grand there, how can I make such a good return investing in these land deals? Well, that's because we're going to use your 500 grand as a down payment to make a couple $1 million real quick in a year, less than a year likely.
The upside,
and so there's plenty of money to share there with the investor.
That's why we're always raising capital, because I think when somebody goes out to start a fund or raise capital, something that you have to keep in mind is that you have to have a deal pipeline long enough to sustain that amount of capital. Mm-hmm. So if you ask somebody, hey, can I borrow $10 million? Mm-hmm. You better have like a $20 or $30 million pipeline. Mm-hmm. And in our case, we have an unlimited deal flow, right? So we can borrow $100 million and place it pretty quickly.
Right.
So
yeah, our bottleneck is funds, just because for one thing is I don't just let anybody invest in my deals.
That's another thing. You got to love your investors, and they better love you, because it's going to be a long ride.
So I love for people to come and talk to me about land and say, hey, I got some money to do with my, you want to partner on a land deal? And I'm like, always, my first answer is always yes, right? But once we get to that lunch or that dinner, some of those phone calls, I think there's some that make it through to the deal and some that don't, and it may be a mutual feeling that, hey, you know what, I'm not,
we just turned down $500,000. Ask Burke, ask him.
He
had a guy ready to go, and we after talking to him a couple of times, I said, man, I don't have the warm and fuzzies that I want.
Exactly. Some investors are, you know, they come like my ex-wife, right, with with a lot of buts, you know, like, you can have the money, but
That's kind of what I get, you know, right?
And it's like, I don't do that.
I have a guy right now, one of my best investors that would lend us money in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. He just lent us over 400 grand. He's not even on title.
Mm-hmm.
He just sent me the 400 grand. Yeah. Send it back when it's ready.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, we don't want everybody to be that carefree, right? So don't mislead you guys and say it has to be that way. But when you do have somebody that says, cool, I'm going to send you $1 million, but this, but that, but this, but that, and they're just scared to death, you'd rather just not even take that person's money.
Yeah, that person's going to get the lowest ROI. I guarantee you, your boy that shoots you the 400K gets the sweetest ROI of anybody, right?
Oh, we load that guy up for sure. Just because he's just like, hey, we need 100 grand tomorrow. And he's like, cool, send me the wiring instructions. Yeah. He doesn't look at the deal. He doesn't vet the deal. He's already vetted us enough to know that, like, hey, if they need it, I know I'm going to get paid.
Period. Yeah, so in 3 or 4 months later, he gets back 150 grand on his 100. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the dude's making 50.
People sit around and learn the stock market to try to make 20% of that ROI per annum. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't got to do that.
Yeah, it's like, I was going to say, if you calculate our yearly percentage, it goes nuts. It doesn't make sense anymore. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we love to, what I love about the land game, and what really, in the beginning, I was like, man, I can take a 500 grand, and I think I can double this a couple of times per year. And that was my first inkling of the doing the deals in the land game.
That's exactly what we're looking at. Yeah, you can double up every 6 months and probably twice in a year.
It's crazy, right? And so to be able to do it once is enough, you know? So some folks that want to double up on their money in 4, 6, 7, 8 months, whatever it is, and then take the money back home and sit on it for the rest of the time, and they've already made 50% on it, that's doable. But the fact is that every time they get the ROI back, are these folks, is that we're human, right? So what do you want to do? You want to pump another 100 in the slot machine, but we always have a deal flow to do it. So it's the same thing. So it's a culture here. And so this, it can be those type of returns, but your money sits in it like it's in the stock market, just compounds and compounds. So imagine compounding popping $1 million in one of our land deals, and then whatever it paid them, say they got back $1.5 million 9 months later, a year later, and then rolling that all right back in for about 5 years, right? There's absolutely no reason that they couldn't double that money up almost every year, you know, if the market stayed right and everything. But just doing it 1 year, you're going to average ROI of the S&P 500 for 5 years. You know, yeah, what I'm saying?
It's pretty cool. Daniel's more of a numbers guy, and he likes to like look at like for the returns and the percentages, and he likes to math it out and play with the calculator, the 10BII. Shout out to Daniel. And the numbers get exponential. It gets crazy, man. So it's just cool to be in a space where we're this well insulated.
Yeah.
I talked to an attorney today. I was chatting with him, and he was I was over at his office, and he was like, you know, are you guys you know the market's changing now? And I was like, you know, we're buying at 20 cents on the dollar,
buying cheaper.
30 cents on the dollar. Yeah. I said, and then we're selling it even cheaper, right? So we do take the property to retail, but we still don't sell at retail. We still sell below retail. So I mean, even if the market completely tanks and we buy for 20 or 30 cents, and now we got to sell it for 50 or 60 cents. I mean, we're still doing okay.
Buying in bulk at wholesale price. Okay, so there's an inherent discount of buying in bulk already with land.
Oldest game in the book, yeah.
And so once you take that bulk and then buy that at wholesale, then you're at a 3 to 4 times factor. And so a market cooling is not going to put you in the red.
No, and I think that's what's cool about this. And I heard I saw a TikTok yesterday from a big investor that I follow. He's a guru, right? He probably has millions of followers. And he talked about how he took a real bad beating right now. He said because the interest rates rose so high, like faster than they've ever rose before in history, lost millions of dollars.
Yeah, the commercial space, several months, especially. Yeah.
And us in land, I feel like, okay, maybe there's cooler, fancier projects out there, multifamily or commercial. Everybody's doing in flex space, and there's all this cool stuff people are chasing after. But I think land is the foundation for everything, man. And there's buyers right now. We have a buyer right now. On this 200-acre ranch, they're coming in with $350,000 in cash, right? And it's a Spanish-speaking person, right? So you're looking at people like sophisticated investors that, again, they're doing commercial and they're very bankable, and they got the spreadsheets and the personal guarantees ready to go. But the guys sitting with cash, they might not be that bankable,
right?
And they're always ready to buy land.
That's right. So land to me is in a market within our market that goes up and down. You know, you've got things that are infrastructure that's built on land, but as you strip away whatever that infrastructure it is, you typically recession proof that land. Land is the foundation, like you said, right? And so in a down market, people are speculating land. The big guys are buying it up when it's low, and so we service those guys, right? We're wholesaling guys. Since it cooled off, we've been wholesaling land to some big investors, right? And so we've had no problem there. And because you're able to use creative finance to have owner finance exits, you're having no problem exiting out of your properties as the interest rates rose and markets cooled, because owner finance buyers, they expect to pay high interest rates anyway, and they'll pay a premium for the property because it's a privilege for them, for a lot of these buyers to have the opportunity to buy some land, even though you know, the interest might be a little bit higher to give for their lack of credit and whatnot. But
dude, somebody broke it down to me very beautifully recently, and I had never heard this before. But they're like, you know what you guys are doing? And I was like, you don't even know what you're doing, right? And I'm like, selling land. They're like, you guys are doing mortgage arbitrage. There's no loan products for what you guys are doing. You guys are creating those loans and then moving the paper.
Yeah.
They're like, so there's no product for that, like no loan. So like, you guys are the bank for that product.
You have no idea how powerful
what you're doing is.
It's very powerful. I know, even, you know, Jesse and I have another thing in common. We both used to work in the auto industry, and it's the same thing for that. Like, I just spaced on that thought. We went for a minute.
No, dude, I love these conversations too. And I could probably talk about this stuff for 10 hours. But yeah, you think about it, there's not a loan product that services these individuals.
Exactly.
The people want the land. They have the cash, very, very well qualified buyers, but maybe they don't have A1 credit, or maybe they go to, you know, Wells Fargo or Security Service and they say, no, we're not lending on land right now. The market's crap.
Yeah.
And so we give them a loan, and
that's, and you can sell it. And that's what I was getting back to with the car industry.
Retail, right?
By providing financing for cars and subprime financing, they will always sell cars, you know. They'll just move the financing around for them no matter what, you know. So to be able to provide that financing is huge. You create your own machine and provide, and that's a huge amount of opportunity for people, you know, that couldn't otherwise do that. And a lot of these folks will be buying at a time to where, yeah, the land prices have gone up a lot in the last few years, but it isn't over, dude. There's a housing shortage. They just let in 8 million people, right, into the United States.
We're going to need a lot more housing.
Last year, we didn't build enough new apartment units to cover for immigration. Housing,
yeah,
is as soon as these interest rates start to come down and these things and we get old Biden out of office, because Lord knows that he's just
getting, hallelujah,
he's getting a little up there, you know. At this point, I don't even care who replaces him as long as it's not Hillary. But anyway, it's gonna flow, baby. Come on, the land industry, like, it's gonna be doing so well. So I'm excited about all the opportunities and the deals that we're gonna be doing, brother, because we're growing our acquisitions team. We're raising money.
Dispo team's growing. Capital's growing. Just very blessed, man, because I do see a lot of people suffering right now, mm-hmm, in this economy. So for us to just be moving the way that we are and the way that sales have been like continuing, it's like, man, not saying it can't get worse, not saying that we're not going to hit bottom, you know. So we pray every day. But, I mean, just the way things have gone up to this point, mm-hmm, I'm just like so thankful, so blessed to be in this space. Like, wow, I'm just literally, I think we've had like, maybe sold like 12 ranches like in the last 30 or 45 days.
I mean, come on.
So, and I'm talking about ranchettes, right? So you take a big
ranchettes,
cut them up into 10 acres, providing 20 acres, but literally like 10, 12 sales like in the last 45 days, mm-hmm, when people are out there suffering in a dying, mm-hmm, market. We sold 1.2 million this week. Mm-hmm. Not this week. In one day this week.
Yeah.
And the guys were all celebrating over there at the house at the Christmas party.
You can acquire all the deals you want. You can raise all the money you want. But if you can't dispo the properties out, you're going to have some issues. And you have been doing that for a few years, heavier than I have as far as subdividing and selling parcels. And you came up against walls and you found that, you know, to sell something faster and for a premium, to provide financing or to partner with financiers who will buy your note after you create it or at the table, empowered you to change the game in your business. And so what we do and what you're able to do is for the people that we raise money from, our partners, that, you know, you might get a creative financing deal like we're talking about earlier. You need a half mil. Partner throws you a half mil. You're going to go make $1 million with it. There's plenty of money for that investor and to get their ROI. Your track record speaks for itself. You've built a software and a machine to do everything in a team. So there's no give Anthony $10 million and he absconds with it to Costa Rica, right? Like, you're dug in. This is what, you don't even do it for the money. I've seen you give away money. We're giving away some deals right now, aren't we? Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but you're like me. We're too stupid to do it for the money. You know, we just do it for the deal making and the camaraderie and the family it builds and the success we get to feel as men and create and build legacies for our family. And money is a tool to do all of that.
Yeah, I think you get to a certain point, right? When you we've all been in scarcity before, or at least most of us have. And once you start to make a little bit of cash, you start to realize again, like you said earlier, you alluded to that, the relationships are everything, man. And it really is the relationships. Like right now, I know a very, very well put together business here in San Antonio. They have a little mobile home on some land that they will let me have for $95,000. I have a buyer ready to go at $130,000 right now. So just from having that relationship that I've nurtured over the last several years, I mean, $35,000 in an afternoon. And I haven't even signed the contract yet, but it's already sold.
And that's just deal. That's just deal flow. They just flow through what you've created.
Through people that know us and trust us and love us, that we've worked with for a very long time. You know, so it's really easy to hand over a deal to somebody. Like I say, hey, man, you got a buyer for this? Yes, cool. I'm going to send it to you. Just send me whatever you got. Like today, my team told me that we have two deals closing right now that I forgot about. Mm-hmm. You know, And I had put a couple dollars into those deals. I love
forgetting about closings.
Yeah, I had put a couple dollars into those deals. And they're like, how much do you want to make on the money that you put into there? How much interest are you charging the deal? I said, no, don't pay me any interest on that money.
Yeah.
I said, just give me back my cash and everybody gets their even cut.
Yeah.
Because those people have been with me for such a long time.
Right.
Why do I want them to lose?
Yeah.
Because I had a couple of bucks put into the deal.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, let's be fair. They've worked very hard. Sometimes
it says a lot. It says a lot. And that's why people come back to do deals with you, because you're bringing a little bit more to the table, right? You're putting your money where your mouth is, and you're not even expecting I'll put up that, and I don't need an ROI there, just an even cut. So that says to me, and we've done these deals together, like me and you, we have to run and fill out a JV form at closing, me and you, and turn it in, because we just did a 6-month deal on a handshake
that were $1 million. Deals like
I mean, but
it's that level of trust that you have with somebody where, you know, this guy's not going to get me.
Exactly.
And I have been bitten a couple of times this year, a couple of times now. But again, it's like, it's me thinking like, yeah, on a spreadsheet, I lost a couple of dollars, but at least you cut somebody out of your life and out of your business. That's not going to, you're not gonna bite me again.
Yeah.
You can do it once. That's cool. Yeah. But we have so much deal flow.
Yeah.
And you know, like, have enough good relationships where I know tomorrow you'll call me and be like, hey man, I got something.
We got another deal. We're constantly fishing. Yeah. There's going to be something. We'll get something. We're going to go in next week, the week after, whatever it is. It's always another deal. So yeah. And like we talked about earlier, deals can go sideways for a minute, and you know, you get emotional because you have these expectations, and I get emotional because I have students wrapped up in the deals, and I want it so badly.
Another thing too, man. You know, when my new people, they're so hyped up, you know, they're ready to get a deal. Like the person that brought the buyer for the deal that blew up the other day. She's a young kid too. She's the 22.
Involved.
She's really excited. She was gonna make a nice big payday, and then so for this guy to snatch it out of our hand, like, of course you're gonna get flared up, because we're not just protecting like our own deal, but we have other people behind us that we're trying to take care of, and
that's right.
They have families, and I've met their families, and it's like, man, I'm so excited. This girl's about to make a ton of cash on this deal. And so somebody tries to steal it from us. It's like, man, you didn't steal from us. We'll be okay. You stole from these kids.
Exactly.
You know, so.
He stole, time from us, right? In the fact that I had to go through some emotional processes. So that time was taken from me. But ultimately, when we get into those emotional states, we have to be able to ring ourselves in. And may not have been so good at that as young men, but we got to ring ourselves in and say, all right. No emotions in real estate. That's what I always say. And I tell my kids,
there's no emotions
in real estate, you know. But even as much as you tell yourself that, you usually can't tell that to your opposing, whoever you might be at odds with, if that's the case. And also, there's these ego things that we have, you know, and they're tough. They're tough. If we had no ego, this would all be much simpler, you know. But you think about it, even the last Monopoly game I played 20 years ago with my brothers, there was some ego in that. So there's certainly doing this business without ego might be
easier said than done.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like I said, man, there's a lot of reason to get emotional, but I think the kind of the cure for that is a deal flow, for one, like you said, maturity.
Yeah.
I was just as flared up as you were, but I knew like for sure, like, hey, on this conversation, it's not going to move
the
needle.
You didn't vocalize it. Yeah.
So now I stayed super calm on the call,
and then you already knew what I was going to do. You're like, I don't need to do
that.
That's
great though. That's great because now, like, hey, these guys are so mad, you know, whatever. And then I come around the back door. Now I'm playing Mr. Nice Guy. Like, yeah, we could still work this out. And
yeah.
That kind of stuff. So the deal's not dead until it's dead.
Exactly. And that's because, you know, ultimately we're deal makers, but that's not how we wanted it to be, right? Maybe fellers watching this down the line, I don't know if we're going to even publish this, but the fact is that it never should have gotten to be like this.
No,
right?
I actually enjoy it, right? So I used to sell timeshare, 100 years ago. And that was probably one of the biggest like psychological lessons that we learned is that if you have somebody on the other end of the table and they're completely passive, right? So this guy's like murdering us while he's very calm about it, like a sociopath. It's better to even flare that person up a little bit. So you push on their emotions a little bit so you can tick them off. You can make them feel bad, sad, whatever it is. And that guy was very nonchalantly stealing our deal from us. So a little bit of that flare up was actually fantastic. It's exactly what we needed. So that way he knows like, hey, these guys aren't playing games. And then that gives me the opportunity. And that's actually what I did at the job. It was a big part of what I did is when a table was blowing up and the people were super mad, they'd send me in to calm them down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you got a little wordy with them.
Yeah.
Because then it gives me the opportunity to do what I'm naturally going to do is come back. And even though I'm heated, I'm like, hey, man, sorry about the misunderstanding. You're still going to need you to buy this deal.
Here's the thing is, I was raised in South Texas. My dad and my grandpa, they handshake fellers. And I'm a handshake guy.
Man, me and my dad grew up in construction, and we did a lot of jobs on a handshake. We never used – I didn't start using contracts, and so I started doing like big
until roofs. People
like
started screwing you.
$100,000 roofs.
Yeah.
Then we started using contracts. But I did everything. I've done everything on a handshake my whole life.
Exactly. And so for somebody to say that I get too upset because I'm the type of a person –
I think you handled it amazingly.
I trust anybody, and I give everybody opportunity that I can – until they have that taken away by their actions, you know, it's like, it just didn't need to go down.
You did the perfect amount of pressure. You didn't go over the top or nothing, but you let them know sternly that, hey, we're not going to let you just steal this deal right from under us. It's not going
to
happen.
Right, and he didn't like that at all because he turned to another person in our conversation who tried to make them an offer in front of all of us for a very small amount of money, which what he doesn't know doesn't even cover our cost on the deal, right?
That's what I was thinking, man. So, for the amount of cash involved, right, a couple hundred grand, whatever, to like snake somebody when it's like, we could make you that 10 times over this year, next year, in 24, you know, just by being in business with us, you could make several times that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to steal the first one.
It's so funny that people have such a shortage of deals that they'd have to, they're willing to steal for a deal, right? And we have, because we built machines, deal finding machines, we have no shortage of deals. So I'm not worried about, we'll have another deal closing next week, next month, whatever. But the fact is that I don't like people doing business like that in our circles. And I don't like being talked to like I was talked to and treated like I was treated in order to get myself in a state of heightened emotion like I got, you know. Now, I wasn't screaming, right?
No,
but I certainly had a raised level
and a
tone, right? Yeah. And that's nothing different than what you...
I think you handled yourself amazingly, but let them know, like, hey, we're not going there, guy.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, it just... Here's the thing is there's no hard feelings about any of it. It's like it's a deal. But it was a Christmas deal for our team. For several team members.
That's what kind of got me, man. It's the holidays.
It's like,
man,
brother.
These young kids are about to make a good amount of money right before Christmas. That's a good feeling. So I was emotionally wrapped up in the deal myself, especially for our people.
That upset
me.
Yeah. That upset me. And so anyway, but, you know, we have so much good to – we're going to be back here at this venue in a few days to give away the 5 acres. And by the time – if anybody sees this, that'll be done. And and who knows, we'll be riding off into the sunset. Of course, that'll be a sunset of another ranch we're subdividing.
But. Dude, I just feel, like I said, man, I everything that's happened this year, we got a couple lawsuits going. I just think that I just feel super, super blessed to be able to even be in a position to give away land.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, and then that was always a dream when me and Daniel started Hivemind. We said, we want to give away real estate. That's our ultimate vision, is to give it away, right? Like Mr. Beast or something.
Yeah.
Like, we just want to be able to bless other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And now and even my dad goes, what's the gimmick? I'm like, what are you guys getting out of it? I'm like, nothing. Literally nothing. There's no upside for us other than to bless somebody's life that could absolutely use it.
But so, there will be, because that's the way the universe works, brother. Those who put in the positive, put in the work, and give to the balance, to keep the balance, they'll be blessed, I think. And so,
I love it, dude.
But no, that's not why. We're not doing business when we give this 5 acres away, right? It's not because we hope to see an ROI on it in dollar amount. It's because it's going to be awesome. We're going to get to do it. And it shines light on our businesses, but dude, we're getting to change somebody's life. It's going to
Did
be
anybody
freaking
call
awesome.
The news, get the news over here. Like, we're literally giving away 5 acres.
You know, it's so silly because I actually was at the Investor Underground event, and there was an Austin news anchor there. And I spoke to him for a minute about it, but it's funny because, well, it's Austin, you know, that liberal news. I don't know. You know, the guy, he's 5 acres. He's like, I don't know if we were giving it to the right person. You know, we might've had to have people fill, it might've had to have the right pronoun, you know, or something like that. Right. We had to give it to a she, them, or whatever that was.
Like, sir, Matt, never mind. Yeah, you won.
Like, do y'all have one of every gender? Like, how many genders are there? I don't know. What year is it again? I don't know. No. I'll tell you right now. There's two genders, but there are other genders that think they're other genders. Whatever that means.
My philosophy is do whatever the heck you want, be whatever you want at home. Well, don't make me play. Yeah, don't make me participate.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody ever gave a shit anyway, right?
Nobody gave a shit from the beginning.
Exactly. And so that's the whole thing, is that a lot of people like to tell us that we have problems we don't have, and then give us a solution for that problem. And that was a problem we never had, right?
So, it's a new age. It's a new age.
There's 350 million people in the United States. 12 people needed a pronoun, right? And so now we went through all of that, you know.
All got to participate.
It's the same thing with COVID. You know, they shut the country down, you know. But anyway. So
I didn't shut down. I still had to keep working, man.
Here's another thing about land. Is amid all of this political turmoil in the world, being on the brink of God knows what else, other wars, land is the foundation of everything, like we talked about again. But being in the land business, you're always going to have a bug out spot, right?
Dude, I love
If the world ends, the zombies come, you know where you're going.
You got a spot to go.
You're going
COVID,
to
COVID. People want to get away from the city.
Right. A lot of unsold parcels in different spots. You have a lot of exits in the event of Armageddon.
I'm thinking too, man, like even just from like a generational standpoint, right? Like my parents didn't have no land, but I hear like my friend, like, oh, we were out at my parents' ranch, or like, oh, my parents' property, and oh, the horses over there at my dad's place. Like, damn, I never got to experience that.
Exactly.
You know, and there's millions of people, right? Probably 99% of people have never told that story.
Right.
So for us to be able to, like, man, you see these people with their kids. I'll tell you a story real quick. One of my buyers who was buying on another ranch, we found a legal problem with it, right? Mm-hmm. So we couldn't close with the end buyers just yet. So it is going through the legal process. And then so now we're selling him a couple of ranches off of the 200 acre tract. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I even talked to him and I said, hey, man, he's like, when are you going to be able to close and all this stuff? And I told him, hey, you know, it's probably going to be mid-January before we get all of our surveys and everything back. And he's like, yeah, he's like, because of that other property, he went in there and he did do a little bit of cleaning up in there and all that. He's like, spend a little bit of good time and money out there at that other property. I just want to make sure it doesn't happen again. And I said, dude, I said, literally, I'll give you the first right of refusal on that property when it's ready to close. I said, or send me an invoice and I'll just pay you.
Right.
When that property
gets
sold.
Whatever it takes. Whatever
And he said, dude, he said, I'm not worried about you one bit. Yeah. He said, you've been amazing.
Yeah.
Because he's ready to build a family for him, a house for him and his family. They just had a brand new baby. Mm-hmm. So he's just like, man, you have been amazing. So I gave this young kid an opportunity to build a house on land. You know, that's something that I've never had. My parents didn't have. Exactly. None of my cousins have.
You get to be a part of that. You get to provide those opportunities.
Dude, over and over and over again, man. So I don't know what other business you could be in. Exactly. Literally, like, everybody says, oh, we're changing people's lives. Like, and people tell me all the time, like, dude, you have no idea how you're changing people's lives. And I'm like, I guess I never stopped to think about it. But when I
it's true.
Freaking amazing.
Dude. It's amazing. Real estate does it. The land space has proved to be something amazing, especially for us Texans. So I love it, brother. I love what you're doing. We'll see you in a few days at the 5-acre giveaway right here.
Somebody's going to win 5 acres. Dude, I'm so excited. I don't even know who it is yet. And I'm like, that's the baddest ass thing that I've ever heard. Like, if somebody gave me 5 acres, I'd be like, what the heck?
I'm excited
for somebody.
It's an honor to be a part of it, brother. So I appreciate you. You're a good man. We got a lot of good deals coming, man. And a shout out to Jesse again. Man, we're going to be doing, me and Jesse, you know, we're launching Ranchlander Realty, and that's going to give us more support in what we're doing in our land deals, right? And but we're going to be doing a podcast right here, the Ranchlander Podcast. Come on. And so we're going to, when we launch our first formal episode here in the next week or two, we're going to get you out.
So with Ranchlander, you're going to be building a brokerage where you guys are all selling and going after land?
What we want to do is, you know, I've been teaching wholesalers how to wholesale, right? And we've had a lot of realtors come into that community, into my Rooster Vance's, land flipping classes. And then in working with Jesse Jimenez, my partner, he is a realtor with a brokerage out of Austin, Tefke Real Estate or Trey, and they're heavy into investment, raising money, you know, funding deals, finding deals in the commercial and residential side. And so we've loved to see what they've been able to do, and we want to kind of mimic that in the land space. So we're building our brokerage under Tefke, right? And it's going to be Ranchlander, our own brand here, and we're going to build a team of realtors and train them and empower them to go out, find and execute land deals. So not only that, because they will essentially become experts, they will be, a new kind of the new mold, new breed of your farm and ranch realtor.
This takes the real estate or the realty side, like being a licensed realtor, mm-hmm. to the next level.
Yeah.
Because now you're learning from somebody like yourself, who is like the buy and list game. I mean, I think it's the easiest game you could play.
Right.
But the amount of leads that we're going through that mm-hmm. are not appropriate for an investor or a wholesale deal.
Exactly.
Now they can go right through a brokerage.
We create a ton of leads, that are dead leads to us.
Yeah.
And so we'll be able to feed all those to Ranchlander Realty. Maybe we'll get listings. Maybe we'll get buyer reps.
You're going to get a lot of everything, man. I think that the level of interest you're going to generate and the people that are going to come on board. Just, I think even having these properties, this land listed, like it wasn't good for an investor, mm-hmm. but it's perfect for a retail, and you list it.
Exactly.
Well, now you have all that stuff in your pipeline.
We know how to price it correctly. Yeah. We can tell them, look, we know what investors are going to pay for this. We know where to come in, right? A lot of these properties that we're buying for $1 million, they've been listed on the MLS for $2 million for a year.
One of my guys had one right now that was like $14 million or something, and they're negotiating it right now at $4 million.
Exactly.
It's like some realtor, some broker somewhere gave them an outrageous price.
A placeholder. Placeholder price. Exactly. And so that is a horrible strategy. What we're coming across in the land space, in the big land space, is that a lot of these realtors are not doing their clients any justice with the listings they're doing for them. They're misinformed or underinformed on how to market these properties and how to price them, right? And so they throw up a placeholder price and they expect offers. A year later, they've still got the $2 million price out there. They've had offers for 1.3, 1.4. Said, no, no, no. A year later, they can't get anything but $1 million offer from us, and they have to take it. Like, if we represent clients, that will never happen to them.
Yeah, you don't set their false expectations like that. I have one that I'm after in Tyler right now. And that thing's been listed for over a year. I think the realtor's already out of contract, and he's still trying to, get it moved.
Right.
But he's still as stubborn as he was on day one. And I bet you that family needs and wants that money. But this guy already put it in their head that they're going to get such a high number. It's so far away from reality, it's not going to happen.
He didn't have the talk with them from the beginning about reality, And sometimes clients need to be fired. And so, in Ranchlander Realty, we might be famous for firing clients, who knows, eventually, because we're not going to allow listings to sit and stagnate. We're bringing more value to the table. We're actually going to say, look, if we're listing a property, we have the power to say, look, if you really want that price per acre, we could do a subdivide, right? We don't even have to do a big subdivide. Let's carve those 4 acres at the front road, sell those for $40,000 an acre, and then you can sell the rest for this, and you're going to average out this, and that's how you're going to get your money.
So they end up with the exact same amount of money they had in mind, but at least you have a real strategy going.
A strategy
in, as opposed
to get them
to
their
false
money.
Promises, yeah.
Exactly, and wait till they finally, they finally just agree to a price. So that just can't work, because land over time is usually either going up or down in value. It's not just sitting, and so. Here we're blessed with, we know that it's kind of stagnant right now, but it's staying in value, but it's going to go back up again, because the numbers all show that. All we need is for money to be affordable again, because we have a housing shortage. So also we have trends heavily. The trends online, and you can do the research and development, the R&D, as far as the numbers on people wanting to homestead now, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So I honestly think that what's coming in our space, we don't even realize, because of the demand for 5, 10, 20 acre tracts to be more affordable for people to move into that homesteading is going to be more than we've ever seen. It's just going to be exponential.
I keep telling everybody on my team, I was like, things are going just fine, going amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if we're doing this good in the recession,
come on.
I don't even know if we're in one, but if we're doing this good right now, I said, wait until the run-up.
Not
when
only
the run-up comes.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, and we're in a recession. You can hear folks spreading the fear that, oh, we're actually in a depression. They're just not saying it. So we've certainly recessed. we recessed probably hopefully just to correct from a little bit of a bubble that we were in. But
I can tell you right now, God is my witness. You guys know I don't embellish and I don't lie. We have been doing just fine. Yeah. I'm not saying we're exploding, but we have been very consistent through this recession. Like, we haven't felt it at all.
Yeah. You designed a business that's recession-proof, essentially, because you bring more value to the table. You're right. By providing parcels at an affordable price and then bringing financiers in to help these folks finance it, it's just, that's, if you look at historically in Texas, people have been doing that for a long time, but it's not been a real known thing. There's been some, I've known some old farmers that have owned thousands of acres and they've sold it off, you know, back in the day with financing over a long term. So creative financing of land is achievable because people have been financing land with seller financing for a long time, you know, and people have been subdividing land and selling it with seller financing for a long time to make themselves a lot more money with a lot less tax implication, right? So we're not doing anything different. What we're doing is we're applying it to a market that needs it. Inadvertently, I think that whether you realize it or not, I think, you know, y'all certainly want to do cash deals, but you saw that the ability to bring the financing to the table, to create the notes and to hold them or sell them is, again, like we said, it's not just empowerment. It's brilliant because you just match it up with like, oh, well, this is what we need to do right now.
We've got the same piece of land, you know, right? We can sell all of it cut up for just under $3 million, which is $1 million over what we're paying for the property. Or I can sell it all on seller financing for a lot closer to $5 million, right? So creating a $2 million spread out of thin air and then repurposing that paper. But like you said, you do need the financiers.
Yeah.
Right. So we need those private investors that have access to capital that's just laying around doing nothing. And we say, hey, we can get you a strong return times two, right? Because you could make some money sitting on that paper for a little while. And whenever you're ready to get out of it, we can get you another large injection of capital too. So I think it's like you said, it's a perfect storm. Lots of different strategies being combined, building a reputation of being able to perform and do these deals over and over again. Yeah. It's just a gaping hole in the marketplace, man. Like you said, completely underserved clients. There's no loan products for it in place. We're creating the loan product, right? That's so effectively, we are the bank, right? Yeah. We're borrowing from private investors and then turning that into paper, giving people an opportunity on assets that they would never otherwise pick up. It's like,
that's right.
It's just a perfect storm. It's a perfect symphony of a lot of different strategies, man. And I think this is just the beginning. It's cool to even be a part of it. I wish I could say that I was smart enough to have thought of all this, but it's guys like you, Daniel, Jesse, of all of us putting our heads together,
making the connections and
putting this all together, man. It takes a lot of concerted effort on our side, and I think anybody would take, if they knew exactly what we were doing, they would want to take a closer look at it and get involved. And of course, if anybody out there has ever watched this and you do have a significant amount of capital that you want to place into something that's very, very safe and repeatable, then hit one of us up and we'd be happy to chat with you about where we're headed next.
That's right. We'll try to squeeze you in. We got lots of deals, but there are people coming to the table with money. We like doing deals with a certain type of folk. But anyway, everybody's welcome. Y'all come holler at us. Rooster Vance here.
Hey, if you have any deals you'd like to submit to the Hive Mind and our team, go to hivebc.io. It's actually the Hive Buyers Club. Submit your deals and we can hopefully dispose your deal for you. Have a great day.